Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, to be used in the same sentence with a machine. Just pray for me that I don't have any technical difficulties. Amen. Or mechanical difficulties. But I love the Word of God, and I love explaining it. I love reading. I love studying it. And just finding new things in the Word of God. Those of you who know me, I know I like my list. There are so many different things in the Bible that have lists in them. And when I was learning how to study, when I went through that transition in my life where study was not punishment. Study is something that's good for a young man and or a young woman. And one of the things I learned how to do was in anything you're studying, if there's a list of something, that's important. You know, that's very important. So I look for lists when I read the Bible. I look for, you know, 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. I'm looking for every list that I can find. But tonight, I have a topic, reconciliation. His message, his messengers, and the delivery. I just want to do a couple of passages, if you will bear with me. Please stand with me for reading the word. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And the next scripture I have is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for an opportunity to study your word, to hear your word. Lord, I'm asking you to bless my words tonight. Bless your word tonight as it goes forth to the people here. Prepare our hearts and our minds, God, to receive your word. In Jesus' name, thank you. You may be seated. Reconciliation. His message, his messengers, and the delivery of that message. From the two scriptures that I read, there are a couple of words that stuck out that are not used in everyday language, but I just wanted to make them clear. The first one is beseech. Someone say beseech. It means to beg someone for something, to ask someone in a serious and emotional way to do something, to implore or to plead with someone. And the next word, you heard it a couple of times, reconciliation. To cause people or groups to become friendly again after an argument, disagreement, or a fight. To bring into agreement or harmony, make compatible or consistent. Anybody ever heard it saying, make your peace with God? Be reconciled to God. But that's a long passage, so bear with me while I'm going to unpack it for you tonight. I have it in three parts, as you heard before. His message, his messengers, and the delivery. His message, the first thing that any minister of reconciliation or any apostolic should know is that reconciliation is to make is to make sure we have a handle on what that message is. The reconciliation is to be obtained to God because God is one. Amen. Someone say, God is one. It says in our opening scripture that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ. We know from Colossians 2:9 that for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ reconciling us to himself. If that's not enough, John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh in order to reconcile us. This is the message. The best thing about the message, I have an announcement for that. After we have been reconciled to him, reconciled to God in Christ Jesus, he is able to deal with us now as if we never sinned. I think Sister Greeley alluded to that today when he cast our sins in the depths of the sea. Says he did not impute the trespasses unto them. For this is a long and a short of the expression, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or God in Christ Jesus. He forgave us and then made us his righteousness. That's powerful. That's good news. This is similar to what the father of the prodigal son did. Anybody remember? He gave his son new clothes and put a ring on his finger. That ring, the ring carries the insignia of the father's authority so that the son can continue in his father's business. Amen? As though he never left. Luke 15, chapter 15, verses 22 to 23. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. And began to be merry. And as you know how the story went on, the brother wanted to know, well, why are you doing this for him after he sinned? After he left and spent all the money on riotous living. And I never left. I did everything you wanted me to do. But again, God did not, his father did not impute his sins against the sins of his son against him. And still made him an heir to be about his father's business. The same thing happened in scripture before. If you remember, the same thing happened to Joseph. When Pharaoh put new clothes on him and put a ring on his finger. We can pick that up in Genesis chapter 41, verses 42 to 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. You know, I just realized that Joseph had some bling. Yeah. And he made him to ride in the chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. As though he were not a slave at all. As though he had never been a prisoner. But make no mistake about it. It wasn't because of everything that Joseph went through. It wasn't because of all the hurt, the hard work that Joseph did when he was a slave or a prisoner. And it wasn't because he interpreted dreams for men and kings. It was because of God's promise that he made to Abraham. God is faithful. That's what brought Joseph to power. God's faithfulness in his plan and his promise. God was in control of the whole thing from the beginning. As when we are reconciled to us, he is also in control. Amen? We don't have to bring our good works for him to reconcile us. We don't have to bring our tears or our bad feelings. We have only to accept what he has provided. Romans 5:19 says, "For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so as for the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Through Jesus' obedience, we become God's righteousness. Amen? Our message includes that we tell all men that the atonement and reconciliation to Christ for all is for all nations, for all classes, for all sorts and sizes. By grace you have been saved. Let no man or no woman or child say, "Oh, you don't know what I'm going through," or "You don't know what I've been through," as if there is some type of difficulty or obstacle between Christ and us that has not been removed. John 19:30 says, "It is finished." In other words, I have taken away everything that can separate any sinner from me. Amen? So that's the message. That is the message part of the reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he did not impute the sins of those he reconciled against them, and he treats them as though they have never sinned because they become his righteousness. Now, who are they? Which brings me to my next point, his messengers. They are messengers of his message of reconciliation. In this next section, I'm going to use the word "we" a lot. No, I don't have a mouse in my pocket. But I want you to understand that it applies to both you and me in ways that we teach, ways that we preach, and ways that we testify as his messengers. I'm going to help you, give you some practical instructions, but maybe just to reset you to where you stand in this message of reconciliation. We hope that our former condition as sinners helps unbelievers, help us to relate to them, and so that they can hear us. Because it applies both to you and me, we are very uniquely qualified to preach the message or to give the message of reconciliation. Amen. We have been reconciled. That means we have a powerful testimony of how good God is and how true the word of God is. When we have those testimony services, that, believe it or not, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm listening for. How good God has been to you. How the word of God has been fulfilled in your life in those testimonies that you give. It is encouraging, and yeah, you make me want to come to the altar. We hope that men and women will be influenced by our testimony. That basically, that if we can be saved, so can they. Right? That's who we are as messengers. Those who have received the goodness of God and been reconciled unto him. We're the type of messenger who has been given, and we have been forgiven much, and we love so much to tell the story of how good God is. To tell a story of our Master's saving grace. Luke 7:47 says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Remember, we are simply bearers of the message that God has given to us. Be reconciled to God. Charles Spurgeon once said, God would have his ministers be like transparent glass, which lets the rays of the sun pass through unchanged, and not like stained glass windows, which color all the rays to their own nature. Therefore, we never beseech, implore you, or plead to someone to be reconciled to God without pleading with God first, without praying and beseeching God first on their behalf. You know, that's the difference between a motivational speaker, stand-up comedians, and ministers of the gospel. We pray, ministers of the gospel pray for the people that they're teaching. We pray for the people that we're preaching to. Amen? Right. We're just not up here talking just to talk. We pray for you. Because we believe that a person won't be saved unless God, you know, his Holy Ghost blesses that word. Amen. He blesses our testimony. As a matter of fact, would you pray with me about that? Let's ask God to bless our testimony, to bless our words, and when people come in front of us. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the word of reconciliation. We thank you, Jesus, for the testimony that you have given us, God, asking you to bless it, Lord, that someone may be saved, that someone may repent and be baptized in your name and filled with the Holy Ghost, that someone, oh Lord, may be reconciled to you, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Bless our word this day, this time forth, and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Angels can't do what we do. Angels haven't walked in our shoes. Angels haven't been where we've been. They can't speak to another sinner who has been part of the fall of Adam. They can't. You are uniquely qualified for this, to be a messenger of reconciliation. Amen? We've been in there because we've been in the shoes of our friends, our relatives, our co-workers. We've traveled the same roads. We've chewed on some of the same dirt. That's a foxhole saying. they're shooting bombs all and shooting over your head in the foxhole, so you're burying your face in the dirt. Or as we used to say on the submarine, we breathe from the same gas mask every now and then. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Amen. The Bible says that we are to beseech men as God beseeches them. Okay, we are to implore or plead with men as God implored or pleaded with men. Well, how does God do that? Well, if you read the Old Testament, God did it through his prophets. So many scriptures in the Old Testament, by his prophets, you can hear God pleading. Isaiah 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Be reconciled to God. You can almost end every one of these scriptures with, be reconciled to God. He is pleading. He is imploring men. Isaiah 48:18. Says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Be reconciled to God. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 55:1. Oh, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Be reconciled to God. He's saying that throughout the Old Testament. Another one in Ezekiel chapter 33, one of my favorites. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then he says to them, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? It seems like everywhere where you see that word, that ye would listen to me. God is pleading. I can understand why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet now. God used him so much to beseech men, to plead through him. The Lord pleads with Israel, both through his prophets and for his prophets. Jeremiah 44, verse 4 says, howbeit I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Be reconciled to God. Jeremiah 35, 15 says, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets. I just read that. Oh, and saying to them, return ye now from this evil way and arm your doings and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Be reconciled to God. So that's how God did it in the Old Testament through his prophets. Then when he came as Jesus, hallelujah, he did the same thing. And I just want to make it clear to you, the same God on the left side of the book is the same God on the right side of the book. The same exact one. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Make no mistake. And he exemplifies this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus pleaded with men, be reconciled to God. And he was still pleading in John 6:37 when he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He is pleading. He is pleading. He is imploring. He is beseeching men, be reconciled to God. How was Jesus accustomed to employing men? Why, sometimes he prayed for them while sitting before them in their evil ways. He said in John chapter 10, I didn't give you this one to write down, but John 10:32 says, for which of the works do ye stone me? These are the different ways in which Jesus pleaded and implored men because he knew them. The Bible says he knew all men. Says in John 2:25, he says, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He asked him, but he asked with a heavy heart. So we ask with a heavy heart. You may find yourself giving your testimony of reconciliation to someone who is in a backslidden state. Again, it is with a heavy heart that we implore them. You may know them as Jesus knew all men. It might be a really good friend of yours. It might be a relative. Remember, it is a heavy heart that we implore. Be reconciled to God. Because the flesh wants to make it adversarial. The flesh wants to make it an argument. We're not trying to win an argument. We're trying to win their soul. Amen? I made the mistake and won the argument, but I didn't win the man. I didn't win that young man over. I made a mistake, and I made my point. I made my point, but I didn't make it a point to have them reconciled unto God. We say this with a heavy heart. You know what they've done. You've probably done it before. You know the misery of their sin. You felt it before. Be reconciled to God. It's like that friend. Have you ever been in a position where you had to ask that person, how come you don't talk to me anymore? What did I do that you don't come by anymore? Have anybody ever been in that position? Raise your hand if you've been in that position. Yeah. Understand this one thing. God has always been in that position. Amen? He has always been there from day one, and according to the Bible, probably before day one. He says, all day long I've held my hands out to a rebellious people. And he still pleads. He still beseeches. He still implores. Be reconciled to God. I hope that you can hear and repeat the same heaviness of the Lord when he pleaded. We are delivering a message of reconciliation by pleading like someone who has lost their best friend. Anybody ever lost their best friend? And you want them to come back so much. We implore them. We beseech you. Be reconciled to God. Paul was in that position with the Galatians, where he said in Galatians 4, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul's heart was heavy. In Philippians 3:18, he says, For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul had his heart broken, but he still appealed. He still implored and besought men to be reconciled to God in tears. It's almost like you're crying to get that person back. Amen? I hope this helps you. This is how we talk to people. We're not arguing them. We're not arguing them down. We're not beating them down. We're not using things against them. We implore them. We beseech them. Be reconciled to God. We implore you in the name of Jesus Christ. Imagine the groaning and agony of Calvary. You know, he said many things, but can you picture it? What am I asking? You're here on Wednesday night. I'm sure every one of you know the agony. That's what caused us to repent. We saw what he did. We saw what he did. We imagined what he did. We heard how he sacrificed his life on Calvary, and it worked the repentance in our heart. Amen. Do you remember what he did for you on Calvary? That's another good question for you, for our friend, for our best friend that we lost. Remember what he did? Remember Calvary? Each groan seemed to say, man, be reconciled to God. And his last expiring cry, it is finished. In other words, I have taken everything away that made a separation between us. Be reconciled to him. That's the delivery. We can practice that in the mirror if you want. Again, many of you have been in that same situation trying to get your friend back. What did I do? What did I do? What did God do to make you to walk away from him? What did he do? Did he heal you when you were sick? Is it because he healed you when you were sick? Was it because he put you in the right place and the right time when you got that new job? Was it when he healed one of your children or your parents? What did he do? Was it when he lifted that heavy burden that you were carrying around for so many years that now you feel light as a feather? Remember that day you felt light as a feather? And he took that burden away. When he blessed you. When he blessed you in a way. When he used you. When he used you to his glory. When he gave you a family. A church family. A place to worship. When he filled you with joy on your worst day. Be reconciled to him. Where that, it's almost like that person, it's that person who's about to hurt themselves. Come in off the ledge. Put that down, put that gun down and come home. Right? There's no need for that. Come home. I know life is hard for me too. I've been there. Come home. Our Father wants to talk to you. Our Heavenly Father wants to have a word with you. He wants to hear from you. Amen. We heard about his groaning, the groaning that he had on Calvary. It reminds me of that old song we sing, "Victory in Jesus." I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson flood. I heard about his healing, how his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and how the redemption of story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson flood. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson flood. We have been reconciled unto him, and he has given us this same message. And you may be called one day to teach it. You may be called one day to preach it, but you do have a testimony today. You do have a testimony, and God has blessed the words of your testimony. He will. It's that someone may be reconciled. That someone may repent and be baptized in Jesus' name when they're filled with the Holy Ghost. That someone may return from their wicked way after walking away from him. We pray almost every Monday night for those who have walked away from Jesus, for those who have been backslidden. We're praying that they be reconciled unto God. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Pastor Dyke, Bishop Greeley, for letting me deliver the mail on your route tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has been so good to me. He reconciled me. Helped me to settle my account, you know. And gave me community service. And amen. He is very lenient. That's another thing you could offer them. Turn yourself in. The judge will be lenient. They call it lenient in our justice system, but it's mercy and grace in the kingdom of God. Amen. Anybody thankful for God's mercy and grace? Let's thank him together, would you? Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your great salvation, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for reconciling us unto yourself, God. And thank you for using us, oh Lord Jesus, to help others. Lord, bless our testimony. Bless our words that you have given to us to give to other people, Lord, that they may be saved. Fill us with your spirit always, O Lord Jesus, that we may praise, sing, and witness in your spirit, O Lord, this message of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this life, God. Thank you, Jesus. Use us this time forth and forevermore. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.